Now, next up is Chris Hipkins. Chris is MP for Rimutaka and Labor Party spokesperson for education and early childhood education. Chris's idea of happiness is sitting on the beach watching the sunset with a good friend, a bottle of wine after a long day in the sun. Chris recently read Michael J. Fox's autobiography. He found Fox's attitude to the challenges of living with Parkinson's disease very inspiring. Chris values persistence in his friends. He says that the ones that don't give up on you are the real keepers. Please welcome Chris Hipkins.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be here. When I was told that the topic for tonight was anything about politics, my initial reaction was to say I don't understand the question. And I have to say, it took me quite some time to work out what I was going to talk about. And so I did seek some advice from people as to what a good topic might be. And they said, oh, look, if you're stuck for something, just tell an embarrassing story that's kind of funny. And I thought, well, I'm not going to talk about my love life in front of a whole lot of strangers. And then as we were sitting there, I was still thinking about what I was going to talk about. And Megan said, just be bitter and cynical. You're quite good at that. And I thought, well, I've already ruled out talking about my love life. So I thought what I would do is just share some memorable holiday stories. It's always a good place to start because talking about being bitter and cynical, seems holidays don't tend to work very well for me. And as I was thinking about it, I was thinking about all of the people that I've been on holiday with, and it struck me that other than my parents who didn't have a choice, I've never been on holiday with the same people twice. And maybe as I go along and talk about this some more, you might understand. One of the more memorable holidays I had was I decided on the way to my brother's wedding in Ireland that I would do something a bit different, and I would catch the Trans-Mongolian Railway, so I would take my time to get there. And so I arrived in China and had a few days in China and then went up through Mongolia. And I got as far as Lake Baikal in Russia, where I, the day before we were due to get on the longest leg of the train journey, which was 3.5 days, I had a chronic case of food poisoning. There was only one thing worse than having a chronic case of food poisoning and knowing that you have to get on a train for 3.5 days. It's getting a chronic case of food poisoning, getting on the train for 3.5 days and realising that it has a squat toilet that goes out over the train tracks. That was probably one of the most excruciating travel experiences that I think I have ever had. Thankfully, one of the other people in the travel group that I was with was an American doctor, and the great thing that's about American doctors is they take all of their drugs with them. So she was able to give me medication as we were going along. Another fairly memorable holiday story involved a visit to the Taj Mahal with a friend of mine who doesn't speak to me anymore. We had spent a week in India at that point. Already there'd been some food poisoning there as well. By the time we got to the Taj Mahal, we'd been travelling in India for about a week, and like I said, we weren't really speaking. And we discovered that it was covered in scaffolding anyway. It's kind of the story of my travels. Everywhere I go, I'll go and visit all these magnificent places, and generally they'll be covered in scaffolding. So if you ever actually want to see the great sights of the world, don't follow me, because there'll be scaffolding wherever you want to go. But I think the most memorable holiday stories I've had are actually here in New Zealand, and some of the most memorable stories are from when I was a child. And we had a family batch in northern Taranaki, and it was built by my great-grandfather on land that the family didn't own. Pretty much all of the materials that he built it with were, big, stolen or borrowed from somewhere. There was no running water, no electricity. As for the sewage system, it was a long drop up the back. And I remember one particular summer being there when my uncle, my mum's from quite a large family, and so he was one of the younger brothers coming back, and he sort of livened up the summer holiday for us, and he taught me how to do horse bites, where you grab somebody on the knee, and so he taught us how to do that. Now, I decided that I would experiment on that with him while he was sleeping, and so I grabbed his knee. Now, one thing I learned from that experience is that a six-year-old child is incredibly strong. You should never underestimate the strength of a six-year-old child when their uncle is trying to dunk them headfirst into a long drop toilet. After that particular experience, we decided that we would get the tractor out of the shed. Now, the tractor hadn't been out of the shed for about 10 years, and it was there was this big paddock. And so we decided that we could crash start this tractor that hadn't been out of the shed for about 10 years by rolling it down the paddock. It took us about 3 minutes to roll it from the top end of the paddock to the bottom end of the paddock, and the rest of the day to push it all the way back up again. because we didn't manage to get it started. But I think actually probably the most amusing and entertaining and memorable holiday story in New Zealand that I have is my father and I decided to go and canoe the Whanganui River. And we did it in these old Canadian canoes that we had borrowed off someone. And there were two families did it. There was me and my dad, and then there was a couple of other guys who were friends of the family. So we loaded everything up into these canoes. We got to the first rapid that we had to go through, and Dad and I went first. And we got through, and we were feeling very proud of ourselves at having got through the rapids first. And one of those things, so we got there, and we thought, we'll turn around, and we'll watch the others going through. So we turned around, and we watched the others coming through, and of course we were in hysterical laughter when they managed to get caught in a little eddy, and they went over. And all of their stuff went into the river, or the stuff that wasn't tied down, of course. We were just laughing hysterically. And the laughter lasted pretty much for the rest of the afternoon until we got to the camping site that night, because then we discovered that our sleeping bags were in their canoe and the waterproof barrels that we had put them in weren't quite done up right. And so we then spent the rest of the night huddled around this campfire trying to dry out our sleeping bags. And of course it was raining by then. So by the time we got to the campsite, it had started to rain. So if you ever tried to dry a sleeping bag in the rain, what you discover is that the sleeping bag still ends up pretty wet. It just smells more of smoke. We woke up the next morning damp and smoky as a result of that. So I think that one probably wins the story for being the best holiday, because my father and my mother are the only people who have ever been willing to go on holiday with me again.
Thank you, Chris. Great story. It's nice your colleagues are here, because maybe one of them will go on holiday with you.
I did once.
Oh, did you? Yeah. She hasn't broken the record.